All right. So what I'm gonna do, just kind of just go through and talk about stuff.
Yeah, let me start out with an intro.
Okay.
And then from there, I'll ask the questions and you'll just respond.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
So this is LMAL Radio. This is Mike Hoffman. I'm having an interview with Brian Bonahoe, one of the event coordinators for Brick World 2008. Welcome to the
Oh, thank you,
show.
Mike. Glad to be here.
And what we'll start off is, won't you tell us a little bit how you got into the Lego hobby, and what is your themes?
Well, I got into Lego, geez, it's been 5, 6 years ago now. Steve Hasenplug, who's pretty well known for his expertise in Mindstorms robotics, his wife is a good friend of ours, and they came to Fort Wayne, Indiana, where we were living at the time, so Steve could coach his first Lego League team in the state championship. And while they were in town, they stayed at our house. And being the friend that I am, I said, "Oh, what the heck? I'll get up and go down and hang out with you and a bunch of these kids all day Saturday," not knowing at all what I was getting myself into. And I absolutely fell in love with the robotics in the hobby that very first day. Steve, that was in a December time frame, and Steve came back for a competition in Fort Wayne at the end of February, and really hooked me good by just handing me a robot when we were down at the competition. Say, "Here, you go ahead and run this robot for me." And after that, I got my first Mindstorms kit, and the rest is history. Obviously, by what I've said, you asked what kind of themes I'm into. Mindstorms is my main theme. It's really kind of nice from the standpoint of I'm not a very color coordinated person, so I build very functional robots. I don't worry about whether or not they match colors with each other, and quite frankly, some of them are really ugly, but it's a lot of fun.
So tell us about Brick World. What is your title and your responsibilities this year?
Well, I am really the event coordinator. I am one of the team that pulled Brick World together originally, and as an event coordinator, I've been working with all the registrants to make sure we try to meet everyone's wants and needs. And I answer a lot of emails. I'm generally the guy responsible for answering comments from the Brick World website. I also do all the postings that we do on Lugnet and announcements and emails to the attendees.
And believe
I
me, when you
organize.
get all those email, I do appreciate what you do filter.
It's I get some interesting ones. There sometimes you get, since the comment on the Brick World website's open to pretty much anybody that wants to hit send a comment, sometimes I get comments that we decide not to answer. They aren't relevant. We'll just leave it at that.
Sorry, I didn't
My
mean
other,
to interrupt your train of thought
oh,
there.
it's all good. One of the other things I do is I'm working. I lead the event layout effort for the floor planning, and I lead the efforts to put together all the presentations and work with the presenters. And this year we've added the classes on Thursday, and I've been working with the teachers and trying to make sure that we're going to have the right equipment available for the teachers to do their thing in the classes. We work with Lego an awful lot to make sure we get Lego what they would like to have at the event, because people may not really think about it a lot, but it costs Lego a lot of money to be a large part of these events. And I know everyone appreciates it, but I don't think everyone really thinks about, they fly people over from Denmark. They have It's a business to them. It's not, they don't come in and share a room with five guys or whatever. They each have their own hotel room. They have rental cars, they have the plane fares, they have meals and expenses that go with it, as well as everything that they ship just to show, and the stuff that they give us to give away, and raffle prizes, and things that they donate for the charity auction. It's phenomenal the amount of stuff that the Lego actually gives us is a part of the event, and I think everyone really appreciates it a lot.
And surprise too. There's little surprises here and there too. Anyway.
Last year they did a really neat thing and did show a high level appreciation for the Brick Rule coordinators when they gave each of the coordinators a gold chrome C-3PO, which was really neat because, you know, obviously the people putting Brick Rule together put a ton of effort into it, and it's tough to show them all the appreciation because we're working to make sure we're breaking even every year because we pay a lot of money to get a really gorgeous venue in the Westin Hotel that I think everyone really appreciated last year, and we've expanded the display space this year from 15,000 square feet to 20,000 square feet. We added a second conference room for the Friday presentations. We have two conference rooms on Thursday. We are also adding on the weekend some of the things the we heard in the feedback sessions were to have some more things for people to do on the weekend. So during the public hours on Saturday and Sunday, we'll have a conference room set up as a theater playing Brick films, and which are Lego stop motion animation movies that are quite phenomenal. It's a whole genre of the hobby that a lot of people just haven't ever even been really exposed to. I'm happy to say that one of the Brick film area's leading people, David Pagano from New York, the creator of a movie called Little People, David will be there teaching a class on Thursday on how to get started in brick filming. We're very excited about that. And of course, I keep saying Brick Films. Brick Films is working with us also to give us some movies to show off for the public. And they are a little business of their own. But I digress. The other room that we have on the weekend that the kids will enjoy is a room full of play brick. So we'll have a room that kids can go in and just build to their heart's content. And of course, unfortunately, they have to leave it all behind when they walk out of the room, so everyone else has a chance to play with it. So it's pretty exciting. The event's grown quite a bit this year. We have probably 25% more attendees. We have reached a point where actually 50% of last year's attendees are returning this year, and that's phenomenal. We're really excited about that. We have what we've been told is going to be the largest set of train displays, Lego train displays, that's ever really been pulled together in one place. So this is going to be pretty cool this year.
Very exciting. If you don't mind, let's go back a minute, and I'm hoping that James can edit this a little bit better.
That's cool.
Can you give me a little bit of history of what led up to the creation of Brick World? Because I know there's some interesting stories probably from House of Bricks, some that probably cannot be aired online, but...
yes, you're correct. You are correct.
Ignoring all of that, can you give me a little bit of history of what led to creating Brick World in Chicago?
Well, in 2006, Joe Menno got a bunch of people from the Midwest area to come support him at an event that was kind of a sidearm of a sci-fi convention in Chicago called... it was a sci-fi convention. I can't remember what it was called, actually. But the event that he made is kind of a sidearm to it. He called House of Bricks. And I guess there's some longer lineage in the history of House of Bricks, but I'm not overly familiar with it. I was only a part of it the last couple of years it was around. But when we arrived at the convention that year, the convention had been rather decimated by some things that had gone on, and a lot of people had pulled out of coming to the convention at the last minute and left them really kind of limping badly. And I think that convention itself actually died an unfortunate death after 2006. But as it turned out, it left the Lego group that was there for House of Bricks as pretty much the centerpiece of the whole convention, which was really kind of odd to have Lego displays and robotics as the centerpiece for a sci-fi convention. So the 10 or 12 people that were there, we spent a lot of time talking and saying, you know, wouldn't it be neat if we had a larger convention in the Midwest area? Because a lot of us had attended other conventions throughout the country, and there really wasn't one in the Midwest. And we all felt there was, you know, a different set of peoples, a different area of the country would draw a whole new group of people if we were to have a large, well-advertised convention in the Midwest. And we thought Chicago was just a wonderful place to pick for that, even though not many of us were from Chicago, because Chicago has three Lego stores. It has O'Hare Airport, which pretty much you can get anywhere in the world in one flight. And it just seemed like a great location to start at. And, of course, that helped spawn the name since we said, wow, you know, Chicago's kind of the center of the world here. And so we came up with the name Brick World. Mm. And actually, I have to credit Adam Tucker with putting those two words together and coming up with it. So it was kind of spawned out of a group of guys that were just kind of there together. And as it turns out, most every one of the guys that was a part of the House of Bricks in 2006 are still part of the team coordinating Brick World now. So it's pretty cool.
Thank you. I was kind of drafted, I think, through Joe Mino to do a website. So I really didn't have a clear background into it, so that helps me at least.
Oh, really? I didn't know we'd ever... No, okay, yeah, no, there's... Now, kind of off the record, James, you know, part of it came together when we had a lot of solidifying moments that weekend, and it was a pre-release for the NXT, so it was actually the largest group of NXTs that had ever been together outside of the Lego company in the world. When we were there, it was Steve and me and Kevin Clegg and John Brost and Brian Davis. And you know, between us, we had like 8 or 9 NXTs there. And of course, you know, being the Lego robotics geeks that most of us are, we shared room. We had one big room for like 4 of us. And the one night of the convention, a bunch of them sat in the room playing with their Lego. Well, I was pretty much on the outs at work, and I knew I was going to lose my job in a couple of weeks because I was either going to quit or they were going to fire me. Unfortunately, they beat me to the punch and fired me. But but so I was like, screw this, I'm getting drunk. So I went down and Fradel and I went and bought a bunch of alcohol. And I started mixing a drink called Buttery Nipples and just walking around and handing them out to people at the parties. And that's where we met Adam. Adam and Brittany showed up. That was the first time he displayed his buildings publicly. And so Adam and Brittany were actually down in the pool swimming, and I was feeding them alcohol in the pool. And then we went in. I got ripped, and we went into the slave auction. And Matt Delanoy and I teamed up to bid on these couple of girls. And so we pretty much kind of made the rounds. And Matt and Kevin were friends, so we made the rounds, met everybody that night. It was ugly, but it was fun. And of course, Joe sat in the room with the guys playing Lego. He missed out on most of the fun. He heard about it the next day. He was like, "Dude, you should have gotten me." And I was like, "Dude, you saw me coming out of the room grab more drinks. Don't tell me you didn't know what I was doing."
Okay, and official, unofficial, off the record stuff now.
Right.
Anyway, back to this year's Brick World. What would you give me your sales pitch? What would you say to a newbie coming to this convention that's never been to a Lego convention? What would interest them by coming to Brick World?
Well, anyone that's going to come to a Lego convention, first and foremost, better have some kind of interest in Lego, because there is nothing at this convention except Lego. In fact, we work very hard to make sure there is nothing but Lego at the convention. We've had a lot of offers ideas from different people from different kinds of industries to come in and set up booths and pay us to be part of it, but they weren't Lego, and we very cordially declined their participation. It'd be interesting to try to do that, but I think it would kind of destroy the whole aura of the convention, because the convention is about the people doing the hobby.
Yes.
And that's what we like to stay focused on. Is our motto is share, learn, discover, and explore. Well, if you're interested in any of that and you like Lego, you've got 20,000 square feet of stuff to talk to people about, and hopefully some little piece of it is your own that you can talk to people about how you did things and why you did things. But Lego for the registered attendee, the Rickroll for the registered attendee is all about sharing how you do things, why you do things, getting together with people that you may only see once or twice a year, getting an opportunity to spend time actually talking to Lego and listening to Lego tell you about things that they may be coming up with or going toward. And there's all sorts of different things, that people bring.
It's also for fans an opportunity to talk with the Lego group and voice some concerns and complaints that people have had over the years too.
Yeah,
focus on that, but
that's right.
It is a platform to communicate to the company and express, as a fan to be able to talk with the Lego group.
Well, and it's really Lego's the only company I know that really gets that intimate with their fans, and even though Lego, a lot of people outside the community think of Lego as just a kid's toy. There's a large part of the community that is adults, and a lot of the kids that are playing with it now will become adults still playing with Lego. So Lego recognizes the importance of the adults and the fans, and they don't, I won't say they cater to them, but they certainly try to listen to them when it makes business sense to do the things that help Lego go forward as a company and also helps the community have more fun.
Yes.
Now from another aspect, though, there are two public exposition days as part of the event. And why would someone from the public want to come see Brick World? Well, I wish I had a camera pointed at the entry door where people walked in last year. I would show you 100 pictures instead of saying any words, because the pictures of the adults that brought their children because the kids wanted to come to this thing called Brick World and see some Lego. And as the kids walk in, of course, they're excited, and they've got looks of wonderment on their face from when they hit the hotel, because they just want to see what's in the room. And the adults look kind of him-ho and not real excited as they come around the corner and walk into the event hall, and they just see 15,000 square feet of stuff that ranges anywhere from 16 feet tall to 30 feet long. And every bit of it is made out of Lego. And it's not just stationary stuff. There's stuff that moves and stuff that lights up and stuff that makes noise. It's almost mesmerizing. And just the looks on the adults' faces as they came around the corner and the look of shock that people could do the things that they do with this hobby. Now, I said earlier in the interview that obviously I'm a Mindstorms guy and I do non-colorful stuff. I'm not much of an artist, but as a Mindstorms guy, of course, I get exposed to the other stuff as part of the convention, and I'm in awe at some of the things people do. They look at these little pieces of plastic, and they see shapes, and they see architectural features, and they see sculpture features. They see mosaics. They see different color combinations and ways to build very miniature-looking but realistic-looking figures and houses and buildings and forest scenes, and they see ways to build incredible looking dinosaurs and dragons and all sorts of animals, and it's things that I really can't even fathom how to do. So it's fun for me to get together with them and listen to the way their mind works, because it's different than the way my mind works. So last year, one of the things that Brick World being a first year event last year, that we did just to get a feel for it, because there was some discussion throughout the hobby fan base about whether or not Brick World was some kind of a way to steal people from other events. Or whether we really belonged in the time frame or in the location we were at. And so we asked at the opening ceremonies for anyone that was a first-time LEGO event attendee to stand up. And it was probably 40% of the people were a first-time event attendee, which validated to us that what we had done by setting up that that event in Chicago had opened doors to people that had never had an opportunity to go to the East Coast or the West Coast to attend other conventions. And that just, that I said, validated us, and we felt really great about that. And of course, you know, that being what happened last year, I guarantee you during the opening ceremony, we're going to ask again, who's a first-time LEGO convention goer? And I know from the emails I've been receiving throughout the last few months as I answer comments from the website, there's a lot of them again this year. It's really cool.
That's exciting.
Yeah, it's, like I said, the theme of the whole event is share, learn, discover, explore. And the fact that we're opening new doors for people to be part of this event is really cool.
So you want to run down and let people know how they can, you know, it's still what, less than a month away, a little bit more than a month away?
Less than a month. You're 16 days. Yeah, 16. What is the day? The 4th? We're 14 days away.
Sorry, I'm...
2 weeks.
Yeah. 2 weeks.
2 weeks. As I'll be in Chicago 13 days from now. I leave. I go up Tuesday to start getting set up for the event, get feet on the ground. If you still want to sign up for Brick World, you can sign up right to the last minute. The only thing you're risking is whether or not you'll get your name badge with your nice engraved name on it. So you get everything else, but you're almost to the point where we can't guarantee you get a name badge anymore. We're still working with Tommy Armstrong at the Brick Engraver, and he's going to work as long as he can on badges before he has to pack up and head to Chicago himself. But hopefully everyone that wants to get signed up gets signed up before that deadline really occurs, and there's no hard, fast time. We'll just see what happens based on Tommy's level of activity and his ability to get stuff done before the event. The other thing you risk right now is on June 10th, the hotel will no longer offer, well, June 11th, the hotel will no longer offer the Brick World discount on their rooms. And actually, the rooms at the hotel are filling up. And we got them to extend the deadline for about an extra week. So if anyone still needs a hotel room, they can still get it at the 50% discount that the Westin gives us. So you can get that through the Brick World website. Other than that, you know, you can walk in the door and say, you know what, I want to be an attendee. Can I pay my money and be an attendee? Well, absolutely, we'll let you in. And we bought some badges last year, and we bought them again this year. They just say Brick World attendee on them. You don't get your name, but and while those badges last, we'll continue to hand those out if people walk in and sign up at the door. So,
or and Tommy will engrave a brick for you too at a price.
That's well, Tommy won't have his engraver at the event.
Yeah, but he can mail it to you.
He can. Oh yeah, absolutely. And last year, honestly, last year we followed up for anyone that actually came to the event. We followed up after the event and actually mailed them a badge.
Yeah.
It's really just a matter of how many people show up and do that, and how much of a hassle it's going to turn into to try to accomplish that after the fact. So.
And if you're not an adult but still like to attend, what are the public hours and the public days?
Well, that's kind of two questions. If you're not an adult, still want to attend. If you're under 18, you need to have an adult register with you and come to the event with you. But if you're adult that doesn't want to attend but wants to come see the creations, or if you're a kid and want to drag your parents along, the public hours are Saturday, June the 21st, from 9 a.m. until 4 p.m. and Sunday, June 22nd, from 10 a.m. until 3 p.m. So come to the Westin, Wheeling, Illinois. That's on Milwaukee Avenue at Lake Cook Road. And follow the Brick World sign into the parking lot and come on inside. And I think you'll find that it's quite a phenomenal sight when all these people put their Lego in one place. And I know this hasn't been asked, but... Well, let me throw out an estimate. I'm going to guess there's 10 million Lego in that room. That's a lot of Lego.
Yes, it is.
What else do you want to know, man?
Well, how many clubs are going to be there this year?
I don't have a clue.
Okay. How many themes are we representing this year? Or
I
do we
don't
even
have a
care?
clue. And we don't even, I don't care. Those are the two things I actually try to keep out of it. I try not to break things up by themes or clubs because people tend to start being cliquish. And so I don't know, you weren't part of any of these discussions, but there was a rather drawn out discussion about 2, 3 weeks ago via email with several people about whether or not train logos should be put in the program and what other logos belong in the program. It's not about clubs, but the train community felt offended that they couldn't be have it be about clubs. And but one of my whole themes around this Brick World event is that it's about the individual. That's why you get your badge and it doesn't have your club on it. It has where you're from. So you can find people from the same general area and you can hang out with them and meet them and you can meet people from all over the world, but it's not about what club they're with. It's about who they are. And so I try to keep clubs and themes out of it because then what happens is people get together with all the people from their theme. It's a interesting thing, even with the awards, and I don't know how much attention you paid to the awards last year, but even the awards, we had another email trail a couple weeks ago trying to hammer out the awards because, since we have so many train clubs this year, I heard it from the train clubs. You need to have train awards this year. No, I don't need to have train awards. Train represent different ways of building, and they can be combined in the awards we give. We ended up compromising with a couple of awards for things, but in general, I don't like to segment the community. I want the community to come together and be one community. But that's just my pipe dream.
Oh, it's funny. Anyway, I
So
think that's it.
who's gonna interview you, man?
I don't know. I've done a small spiel with James already. He just released an episode today. We talked about Lugnut, but we talked briefly about Brick World.
Yeah,
So
that's yeah, you said that, yeah.
I guess that's my interview. The
All
10
right.
second one.
The 10-second one.
Yeah. Now I'm hoping Joe might get on tonight so I can talk with him too. And
Cool.
with that, I'll stop recording now.